Hello. Welcome to Q&A with Perrier, where we're bringing your questions and talking about calcium bentonite clay. It's been a while since I've been with you all, and I've missed you. Looking forward to lots of questions today. I hope during our break you have accumulated quite a few questions so we can address them and see what's going on in your world and how we can fit clay into it. I'm Perrier, the author of Living Clay, Nature's Own Miracle Cure, and passionate about calcium bentonite clay. So let's get started. We do have some questions in our box. Joanne from Ottawa. Can you use bentonite clay on tumors? If so, would you know where I can get it in Canada? Joanne, yes, but there are different types of tumors. Some are benign, and I've known some of those to dissolve and go away, some tumors. I don't like to get into making cancer claims. I'm not a physician and wouldn't dare to tread on that. I would definitely use it on them. If for nothing else, it usually draws anything back to the point of origin. And oftentimes it gets smaller and dissolves, as it does sometime with cartilage buildup. So it's okay to use, but if it's a life-threatening tumor, I would use it and go see the doctor too. But you can do it in conjunction with it. Mostly apply it topically. Also, drink the clay. If you're taking medications, check with the pharmacy. Tell them you want to take a 9.7 pH bentonite clay, and would it interfere with the medicine? If he doesn't know, just ask him how long it takes to absorb the medicine, and then find a time after that to drink your clay. And I'd start with 2 ounces 2 to 3 times a day. In Canada, we do have a distributor there called Axelcraft, and I see your email address here. I will email you his phone number where you can reach them to get it there. And thank you for that question. We have actually had tumors on dogs, and again, I don't know if they were benign or malignant, that with the applications of clay shrunk and went away. So hopefully that's good news. And Linda from Pataskalila. Okay, boy, you got me there, Linda. Can you use the clay in an enema bag? If so, how much would you put in? And should you try to hold it for a certain length of time as you do in a coffee enema? Yes, you can very definitely use it as an enema. I recommend 2 ounces of the liquid clay to every pint of water. And I would hold it, similar to what you do with the coffee enema, particularly for the healing properties. If you have an ulcerative colitis, ulcers in your colon, that would be good. You can increase the clay if you're not getting the results you want. Put 3 ounces in and try that. And, and then I would drink it internally too. And so let's catch it from both ends and reduce the acidity in the stomach that might be irritating the colon too. So I would drink the clay, the living clay, and also do the enemas. All right, good questions, good way to start. Let's see if we have any more coming in. Well, it looks like that's all we have for this moment. So we'll talk a little bit about clay. I'm working on a rewrite of the book and really excited about it. I'm getting very close to getting it finished, and I've added some new information. Clay continues to amaze me, even when I know how it works, on myself. I know it's going to heal something and heal fast, and it still, when it's healed the next day, like, it just absolutely amazes me. I had a gentleman over at my house the other day, and I gave him a shot of just a 1 ounce jigger of clay, and he said he had had irritable bowel syndrome for all his life, as long as he can remember. He's had problems with it. And I just gave him one little shot glass full of clay, the liquid clay, and he told me later, he said, I got home and I could tell it had worked. And he said, I wanted to see how long I would be symptom-free. And said, at the end of 2 weeks, I was still symptom-free. And at that time, I went ahead and ordered some clay because I decided if it was going to do that, I wanted to keep drinking it. He's called me several times and turned several friends onto the clay as well. And that's how it works. And I went to a party. Actually, he was from my church, and we're having meetings and inviting people from the church as we're planning our year and having dinner meetings. And so I went to a dinner meeting there. I was helping hostess and prepare the food. And I took my bottle of clay, and I thought, well, we were going to have Mexican food, and I thought, perfect, we can absorb that excess grease on the clay, and I mean, with the clay on the from the Mexican food, and eliminate a lot of cholesterol in our system. So I took my clay, and it was sitting on the cabinet, and one gentleman walked in and picked it up and started looking at it. He said, boy, this is really good stuff. And I said, oh, do you know about clay? And he said, yes. Said, I have a friend who's really into it, and he heard this lady on the Power Hour talking about it, and he has all the tapes and CDs, and he's always sending them to me. And I've tried it. It really works well. And I said, well, you're going to get to try it again tonight because we're all going to, offering everybody a shot of clay. And I said, by the way, I was the lady on that CD that he heard. And he said, oh, my gosh. He said, my friend's not going to believe this. He's been wanting to meet you. I can't wait to tell him. So I felt like a celebrity before the end of the evening was over. And but it is amazing when you have it like that. And then Jim chimed in and told his results with his irritable bowel syndrome. And another lady who was using it for her acne, she and her teenage boys chimed in and told their stories. And then one of them said, well, he had gotten a spider bite on his back, and it felt like a brown recluse because it was really festered up and got angry looking. And he put the clay on that night, and the next morning it was just gone. So when you have people there telling their stories while you're sharing the clay, it's very exciting to know how it works and how excited they can get about it. And I hope that is your situation. Let me go back and see if we have any more questions coming in. Well, nobody's either listening in, we forgot about the show, we took too long a break, or no questions. So let's just talk about what clay is. Calcium bentonite clay is volcanic ash. These minerals have been fused together. The minerals clay is made up of trace minerals. It's the burnout core of Mother Earth, and nothing is left but fine trace minerals in the form of ash. So all the impurities have burned out. When it lands in an inland lake or seabed over millions of years, when that seabed dries out, it evolves into clay, as we know it. And from there it's milled, and its clay is very alkaline in nature. It's because of its high calcium content, particularly a calcium bentonite. The minerals decide how strong the clay is and its uses. Some clays are better for topical use. Some clays are better for their swelling capacity. If they swell real big and get gooey, they use them to drill cool oil well, but bits. When they're drilling oil wells, keep the bits cool. And they use it a lot in industrial use and making paints and plastics. So those are some of the industrial use. Some clays are good for external but not internal. Other clays are good for internal but not external. And then there are a few good clays out there that are good for both internal and external. The things you want to look for when you're looking for a clay is you want a fine clay, a kind of talc-like clay, that when you mix it, it's non-gritty. It makes a really creamy, smooth paste. Some clays, when you add water, it's like sand on the beach. If you've seen wet sand, it just gets hard and heavy, but it's not real creamy and smooth. You want your clay to be like the consistency of sour cream or a thick pudding, something like that. That consistency, very smooth. you want a clay with a high pH. I wouldn't go lower than an 8 to a 10. Generally, if you can find one in the 9 range, that's good. You definitely want a company, a source company. You want to be able to find the source company to ask questions. Many companies, I found a company the other day, someone sent me a clay to ask if it was calcium or sodium. I went to their site. It had no information about the clay. It didn't say if it was calcium or sodium. It didn't have its pH level. There was no indication where the clay came from or what type of clay it was other than bentonite. And there's a world of difference between sodium and calcium bentonite. So to me, that was a red flag. There was no phone number. It was a company that sells a whole lot of food products, and this was one of their products. We did find that the company was in South Africa, so I assume it's a clay from South Africa. Have no idea. That's a definite red flag. When they're not willing to put on the label what disclose what type of clay it is, that's a red flag. If you can't find the pH on their website, that's a red flag. There are some acidic clays out there, and they usually don't mention the pH. They just kind of slip over that. They're not, they don't have it anywhere on any of their information. You want a clay, you want a company that you can find a phone number, not just send an email to and hope they answer back. You want to be able to call if you have a question and be able to talk to someone. I think that's very important. You want to get a company that stands behind their clays, and, you know, will vouch for them. And if you have a problem with the clay, they'll replace it. I know occasionally, since clay absorbs odors, occasionally through the mail, it gets, we've had one that arrived at one place and it tasted like garlic, and we shipped it twice the same way through U.S. Post Office, and I don't know where they were storing it, what kind of facility, but it was picking up some kind of odor in transit that was really, really strong. And finally, we had to ship it another way to her, and then it arrived just fine. So if something happens like that, you want to find a company who will honor that. Generally, they'll say, send me a little sample so I can, a sample of the clay so I can check it and see if I can send it off for testing to find out what's affecting it. And then they'll, you can, I don't know, a lot of companies just let you keep what you have because the shipping is so high and you can use it for clay baths or your garden or your pets or something like that. Okay, we have some questions in now. Tony at Walnut Creek, is it okay to mix the clay with vinegar instead of water for a face mask? If you have a clay, a good clay, it's not necessary. You can try it both ways. Sometimes the vinegar has a tendency to burn your face, so I'd be kind of careful with it. I'd try it on a small area first. A really good clay, when it dries, that's another thing. You want a clay that when it dries, it really tightens and pulls, and you can feel it tighten and pull, and it won't just fall off your face. It's not powdery like. It doesn't just return to powder. I've had some that I put it on the minute it dries. If you sneezed, it was all on your clothes or it fall off. So you want a clay that will hold to your face. And when you do, the longer you leave it on, the warmer your face begins to feel because it's pulling blood flow up there. For fair-skinned people, they probably don't want to leave it on a real long time after it dries because they'll take it off and their face will be really hot and red, almost as if they have a sunburn, but it goes away. It's a temporary thing from pulling that circulation there. So I would say it depends on the type of clay you have and if you want to try it. If you have a good clay, it's going to do the job and you don't need to add anything to it. If you have an inferior clay, you may need to add vinegar to it. So that's my answer on that. Just say, Gabby from Torrington, Wyoming, Just to say hi, Perry A. I'm listening and enjoying your information as always. Blessings, Gabby. Oh, thank you, Gabby. That's very nice to know. I feel like I'm talking to myself sometime. Okay, Macon, Several Spring. A friend is taking chemo because of cancer. How will the clay help her? It can help her in supporting her whole immune system. When you're taking chemo, it kills off everything and it weakens your immune system. The clay is going to keep daily toxins from going into their body, anything they ingest that the body has to fight off. So it's going to lighten the workload on the body by filtering out these baddies before they go into the bloodstream. Drinking the clay is going to and taking clay baths will help pull off the dye off. The chemo is going to kill the good and the bad, but it doesn't always eliminate it from the body. So taking clay baths will help pull that dye off, those dead toxins and things out of the body. A lot of people, when they take chemo, and they may have mastered the chemo now, I think it's a little better, but a lot of people would break out in their mouth. They'd get mouth ulcers and sores, and their gums would bleed. Taking the clay, brushing your teeth, packing your gums really helps with that. Also, a lot of people would either get nauseous or get diarrhea and often had to stop their treatments because they couldn't keep anything down. So if you're drinking a little clay along, it helps stop the nausea and the diarrhea. So if there are many ways it can help with that when they're on chemo. The clay is not absorbed into the bloodstream, and since the chemo is generally given intravenously, it's not going to hurt with the treatments. Okay, Brenda in Phoenix. I have a non-health question about using clay. Is there an easy way to clean clay out of glasses after drinking it? I have a really hard time, and I don't know if it's anything to do with it, but simply rinsing or running them through the dishwater leaves a clay film. You know, I've noticed that in glass, and that's what it does. It coats your system. It coats the lining of your colon, and that's where the healing can begin. Well, it's coating your glass, and the best way to get it out is to take a wet sponge with a little soap on it and rinse it out, because clay has a little plastic oily-like substance to it when it's in the liquid form, and it will coat a glass. And, of course, that's one of the things that makes it so good for the body. But it does. You have to... I take my little shot glass, my jigger, and... Even just rubbing my finger around it doesn't always get it, but if I get a sponge with a little soap on it and wash it out, it comes right out. So, good question and good that you noticed that. Yeah. And that's why I like drinking it before I eat something greasy or something that's got high cholesterol, because I know it's going to coat that. And when you put dry powder clay over oil, and we tested this with motor oil and olive oil and put it in a pan with some water, and then we sprinkled the clay over the top. And it took quite a bit of clay, but it absorbed all the oil, and then the clay just sunk to the bottom. And then when I reached in and took the clay in my fingers and kind of mushed it up, I wanted to see if it would release the oil, and it never did. It stayed inside the clay. It's really amazing how it does that. So if you're taking good vitamin E's or your good fish oils, wait a little while and give yourself time to absorb them before you take your clay. But for the bad oils that we eat, if you're eating something really rich and fatty, that's a great time to drink clay before and afterwards a little bit to catch all that fat. We need some good oils, but then there's the bad oils we don't need. So kind of use it... with that in mind. Good questions. A crystal in Providence. Can drinking clay help remove radiation from cell phones, TVs, etc.? You know, I was reading an article the other day, and it was aimed at Fukushima and the people testing with radiation. They say 90% of the radiation is on your clothes. 85 to 90%, it's the dust particles that land on your clothes. And if you take your clothes off and put them in a plastic bag and then take a shower and wash yourself off. That's all the government tells you to do. Just wash with soap and water and wash the dust particles off. But wash your hair, because if you're in that area and you're outside during the day, the particles will be in your hair. When you go to sleep at night, you're going to sleep laying down in it. So I would say if you shower every day, you're helping with that, even from cell phones and TVs. But then I would recommend taking the clay baths. Once the radiation is absorbed into the body, the best way to remove it is through clay baths. And it will remove the radiation. It will remove heavy metals. We've had numerous situations with people who had high lead, high arsenic, high mercury, and 2 or 3 months with 2 or 3 baths a week, and their tests came back very good that they were released. We had a 3-year-old child with 7.3 lead levels in his blood, and after 2.5 months of clay baths, it came back a 0 on lead levels. So, yes, it will help remove it. And, you know, you might occasionally, after you've been on the phone a lot, get a little thin coat. Get some of your liquid clay, just a thin deal, and rub it around your ear and the back of your neck where you've had that cell phone. Let it dry and then wash it off. That's another good prevention. I know sometimes I get a call and I'm on way too long and the phone starts to get hot. And that would be a good time to do that. And if you've gone to the doctor and had any x-rays, like on your teeth, I had my teeth x-rayed the other day, and I was going straight home afterwards, so I took some of my clay, and I went in the bathroom at the dentist office, and I just put a thin coat along my jaw and my neck, my throat, and let it dry on the way home, and then washed it off, and then I brushed my teeth with clay. So little things like that will definitely help. And here's another question. I'm here in Austin listening online. Thanks, you're doing fine. Much good information. Thank you very much. It's so rewarding to get some feedback, and I really appreciate it. There are two ways to take clay, and they work independently of each other in how it helps your body. Internal, as we talked about. You want to take the liquid because it's already activated. Once water gets with clay, it's called activated. It's ready to work. And when you drink it, it's working in your mouth, in your esophagus, in your stomach. If you take it in a capsule or a pill form, you have to swallow it, wait for it to break open, wait for it to absorb enough water. And then it's just going to kind of be a lump of clay in your stomach. And, yes, it's better than nothing, but you're missing a lot of the action of clay. Clay, virtually, a good clay will have no taste. When you swallow it afterwards, it's a little chalky. If you just hold it in your mouth, it's cold. It's not hot. I think the worst thing is looking at it when you're drinking and thinking you're drinking dirt. So close your eyes and think you're drinking pudding or something. It literally has zero taste. Just that little chalky earthiness after you swallow it. And one sip of water and that's gone. So when you take the clay internally, it works from the mouth south. It grabs toxins along the ways, pulls them into this little cage, locks the gel cell, and carries them out. It's eliminated through the stools. Along the way, the pH of the clay is going to balance your acidity. It's not going to over-alkalize you. I've taken clay and retested my pH in the morning for years. And I usually stay right around 7. I don't, because the clay is a 9.7, it doesn't bring me to a 9.7. And 7 is right around where you want to be. You know, lower than, I think it's 6.5 is really acidic, and, you know, higher you can get to alkalized. But clay is homeostatic. It's all about balance. And so it doesn't want to over-alkalize you. It just wants to bring you in balance. How it does that, I don't know. The Indians say it has a wisdom of its own. It knows where to go and what to do, and I believe that. So also when you take it internally, parasites like the clay, they let go of the host wall and they're carried out of the body. So you're eliminating internal parasites. Now, it doesn't work on bloodborne parasites, so if you're giving it to your pets, you still need to deal with heartworms, because that's a bloodborne parasite. The other way is toxins that have accumulated and are stored in the body, and we all have toxins stored in the body. All these things that get by us today when we eat, for years we were eating and didn't know what organic was, but we were using pesticides and fertilizer with things in them and chemicals on our plants. And we've been absorbing a lot of stuff over the years, and that's why more people are coming up with the arthritis and aches and pains and diseases. When the kidney and the liver and the lymph glands, which are designed to filter out the toxins and the waste matter and to eliminate them from the body, when they're overloaded and overworked, what they can't get to is sort of stored in the body, and it gets stored in the soft tissues and the joints of the body. And then there gets to be a buildup in those joints, and we get arthritis and crooked fingers and achy knees and feet and things of that nature. So taking the clay internally, somehow, even though it's not absorbed into the bloodstream, it eliminates the pain and it starts dissolving what's in those joints. And it may be the silica in the clay. Clay is a dominant mineral, and clay is silica. And silica has the electromagnetic energy. It's called a nanocrystal, capable of communication and memory. But anyway, it works. So taking it does that. But after it gets stored in those joints to a certain degree, the drinking it does not eliminate it. So taking the clay baths, the clay is so strong that it will literally pull through the pores of your skin. And the reason you need a hot bath is to open the pores of the skin. And then soaking in the clay water, the clay begins to pull things out. If you're in the bath and you feel your leg, it almost feels like little air bubbles, but they're not air bubbles there. It's just a tiny slickness. And you rub it down, and then it feels like skin again. And so you let go, and a little bit later you rub it again, and you feel that little bit of slickness, and you rub it away, and it feels like skin again. Well, this is, it's just very subtle when it works on pulling these toxins out. And the clay captures the toxins. It will not release them back into the clay water once they're outside of the body. And I do believe that drinking the clay somehow and being in the clay bath stimulates the release of the toxins from the body. It helps the body open up and let go of them. And, of course, you're having that pulling and drawing effect, too. I can't say enough about clay baths. People who take them love them, not only for the detox effect but for the calming effect. Autistic children are known to instantly in their first clay bath show signs of calmness. They have more ability to focus, they make more eye contact, and they become more verbal. So that is really saying something about it. Now, I would have never suggested taking a clay bath for a migraine headache, but I had a friend the other day who had a migraine headache, and the clay baths are very relaxing, and so she decided to take the last bit of her clay, and she only had a half a cup left, and take a clay bath. And she got in a warm clay bath and laid back and swished the clay all over and put some on the wash rag and laid it over her face. 15 minutes later, her migraine headache is gone. Now, if you've had a migraine headache, you know these things come to stay. They don't just leave in 15 minutes. They're with you all day, and you really have to take pills or lay down or get still. But the clay, when it relaxes, it opens up the flow of blood. And when blood and circulation can go through, that releases the pain. When you have pain, you naturally tense up and resist the pain. We tighten up against the pain. That's why when mothers are in delivery and they have a contraction and the pain, the doctors say, breathe into the pain, relax, breathe. Because when you tighten up, you can hold that pelvic closed all that longer, and you're just going to have a longer labor period. so it works in that regard. I've had a clay bath. I know it does this, but it still amazes me. I can't remember what I did the other day, but I was aching all over, and I went in and fixed a clay bath. And when I got out, all the aches were gone. It was muscle soreness I had worked out or something. And it just amazes me that in 15 minutes, all those achy, sore muscles that I was tender every time I moved, I would catch, you know, here and there, and it would remind me I'd awaken these dormant muscles. And 15 minutes later, it was gone. So if you've never had a clay bath, I invite you to try one. They're marvelous for you, and they're very relaxing. You want to take them at night because you just want to be poured into bed and covered up and sleep like a baby. All right, let's see if we have any more questions. Here's Crystal again. Does living clay have a good amount of iron? It's got a minimal amount of iron, but the iron in the clay is not bioavailable to the body. There are only four minerals that are in the adsorption layer that are made available to the body. That's calcium, magnesium, potassium, and sodium. And they are in small amounts, not enough to be considered a daily minimum requirement. So you don't take clay for a mineral supplement. You do get a little bit of those. What's in the clay, the minerals in the clay are bound together and they form this cage. They're bound tightly with an oxygen molecule. There's two tetrahedral layers with the octahedral layer in the middle. And when you see the structure, the chemical structure of how these atoms are held together, you understand it's a cage-like apparatus. And the minerals are serving a different purpose. They're making the cage. They have been baked together, and they have made a new particle, and it's not just a bunch of minerals. It's now a clay particle. It's like baking a cake, and you have sugar and flour and eggs and salt and seasonings and a water and oil, and you mix it all together, and you bake it. Now you don't have your oil, your eggs, your salt, your flour, your sugar. All these ingredients are now make up another compound called a cake. Well, when the ash was burned out through the volcano in that heat, that was the baking of the clay. And all these minerals are fused together, and now they make up what is called a clay particle. It's not just because it's made of 50 or 60 minerals, they're not loose minerals. So, yes and no, you have some iron in it as iron oxide and also as iron, but it's in a minute amount and should not be available to the body. Brenda in Phoenix, is there a target date for the release of your book revision, or is it too soon for that? Will it be possible to buy a Kindle version? You know, I haven't looked into a Kindle version because I love my Kindle, but it's really hard for me to go back and forth and find pages, and a lot of the book is an index with where to go to find what to do for insect bites or eczema or chicken pox or poison ivy or a cut or a burn. And going and finding those pages in the Kindle for me is very difficult. I can't find a page index. It has these numbers at the bottom which seem to appear on every page. And I know you can bookmark a page, but I think I'd have every page in the book bookmarked. I'm not sure it would be beneficial as a Kindle, but we might try it sometime. I am very close to having the copy ready, and then I have to have it proofread by a couple of people and go ahead and get those corrections, and then we have to send it off to be formatted and proofed. Once they get it all formatted and printed in, every word has to be proofed again to make sure it's right before we can send it to printing. So I would say we're 3 to 4 months away, and I keep reading through. I've got to quit reading through and changing and adding things. I need to let it go. It's like Truman Capote's publishers finally had to go and get the book and take it away from him because he kept wanting to change it. And I totally understand what he means. And I need to let it go. So thanks for that reminder. And when I do see a date, I will let you know. And I'm sure the minute we get it, we will do a book special and let everybody know about it. I'll be shouting it from the rooftops, I guarantee. All right, let's see what else we have. Can I drink clay before bed? Yes, drinking clay before bed on an empty stomach is very good. It's not competing with food. It can go in there and clean real good while you're sleeping. Very beneficial. When we recommend a clay cleanse, we usually recommend drinking clay twice a day on an empty stomach if possible. Mainly because it's easier to go in and cleanse out that lower colon if it's not mixed in with food and dealing with that at the same time. It's not really necessary. I find the clay works as long as you get it in you and on you. It's going to find a way to work. And we tell people morning and night. And then after that, just find your maintenance dose and you can take it at any time. Now, it doesn't hurt to take little sips of clay during the day. I like to drink a little bit before I eat a meal. That way I'm assured that anything that might be on my food that shouldn't be there, that by drinking clay, I'm going to make sure it's organic because I'm taking the baddies away before I eat them. You can wash your vegetables in it, but if they're root vegetables, rinsing them is not going to help if the chemicals are absorbed into the root, like in a potato or a carrot, something that's hard like that, a turnip. So that's where drinking the clay can come in, though. And like I say, I keep clay in my kitchen cabinet. I just walk by. If I feel like I need more, if I feel indigestion, I ate some bean soup the other day and was very gaseous and took clay. That's one of the things I had to experience. Here's my tip of this session. I fixed a big pot of navy bean soup, and I rinsed my beans. I soaked them, and I rinsed them real good, and I put fresh water on, and I cooked them, and evidently I hadn't soaked them long enough. I had this wonderfully seasoned with ham pot of navy bean soup. Tasted delicious, and I had poopy gas all next day. Thank goodness I wasn't going out in public. Now, I can't cook in small amounts, and I thought, oh, I'll take some of this to my neighbors. Well, now I'm stuck with bean soup because I can't give this to my worst enemy. So the next time I thought, I don't want to throw it away. I'm going to try something. And so I measured me up the amount that I wanted to heat for lunch. And I poured a shot glass of clay into it. And I stirred it up, and it got a little gray, and I kept stirring it. It finally looked like bean soup. And I warmed it, and I ate it, and I couldn't taste the clay at all. But I didn't have the poopy poops the next day. The gas was gone. So if you're going to be eating beans, no beano, get clay. How about that? Okay, Brenda is back again. It says, me again, how can calcium versus sodium bentonite clay be determined? Is it simply the ratio? Thanks. What determines it is the amount of sodium. Anything 2% or higher is considered a sodium bentonite. And actually the determination is based on the highest mineral content. Like a living clay has a 8.97 something, 9.87, something like that, almost a 10% calcium. And it has 1.5 sodium. And it also has a tiny bit more magnesium than calcium. So technically you might say it was a magnesium bentonite clay. But usually calcium is what they're used to, and as long as the calcium is the high thing. Some clays have a 0.04% calcium, very low calcium, and I believe the calcium and magnesium content being so high in living clay is what gives it its extra ability to swell more. Everything is dependent, the way clays work is dependent on their percentages of their minerals, but nobody knows the exact ratio. I just know it is a 3-time swelling bentonite that's a calcium. And generally your swelling bentonites are just your sodium. So this is a rare clay. It's very strong. It works when you hydrate it and you make the clay mask. You triple the amount of water to clay. So over everyday calcium bentonite clay, you would use 1 part of clay to 1 part water. And with ours, you use 1 part clay to 3 parts water. So therefore, you're going to have 3 times the volume of clay mask made at the end of it. So you really get more clay for your money. Crystal again. Can clay help the brain? I'm concerned about tumors in the brain because someone in my family had a brain tumor. Honey, don't worry, don't borrow worry. And I wouldn't concern, from what I gather talking to you, you eat very healthy and you exercise and you should be in good shape. Give your body credit for doing this. Will it help if they're already there? Will it help keep them from getting there? I really don't know a definitive answer to that. I think it would help if you're a clay person to keep from getting that. We don't even know what causes a tumor to locate in what different parts of the body. You know, wash your hair with it occasionally. Put it in your scalp and leave it on. Put a shower cap over it and walk around on a Saturday morning while you're not doing anything and leave the clay on your scalp and head. That might help. If nothing else, it will give you peace of mind. And I know a lot of people that are concerned because maybe their family is prone to cancer, and I do have one that a friend of mine, that cancer runs in the family, and she had cancer, her first time breast cancer, when she was very young, and she's had it twice, and she's cured herself, and she now eats raw and juices. And her son got cancer, liver cancer, and they'd given him 3 weeks to live. And she took her homegrown organic vegetables, drove to Tennessee with her juicing machine. She gave him nothing but juice, but from these good vegetables. And, you know, she assured that he got protein, too, and had a balanced nutritional juicing. And he's still alive today. So he was in end-stage liver cancer, and she has got him eating and drinking raw. When you have cancer and you start juicing or eating raw, you relieve the energy used in the body to heal something like the cancer. It's not tied up in digesting food, so it gives you more energy to work with. It's amazing how the body works, and it really does heal amazingly quick. Well, it looks like our time's up for today. In fact, I'm so excited here. I've gone 15 minutes over. It's good to be back on and have all of you listening in. Thank you for your comments, for being with me, for bringing your questions. And again, we'll have another program. Let's see, next Thursday I'll have the Wellness Talk, and it's about mental healing as well as physical healing and our attitude towards life and getting out of stress and worry, not boring worry, and making assumptions. So we can have a more peaceful mind, and a peaceful mind is a peaceful body and a healthy body. And then we'll have another clay seminar on January the 24th, and I will see you then. In the meantime, have a wonderful day, and whatever you do, take your clay with you. Thank you for sharing clay, using clay, and tuning into this teleseminar. Have a great day. This is Perrier signing out.